sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Mark Crutcher, as you heard. Lurking nearby is Sarah Waits.
Hello, everyone.
Lurking even closer to me than her is my daughter, Sheila.
Hello.
Yep, she's back again.
Is this 2 weeks in a row?
This is. We really have to stop this.
Yeah, this is. We don't want this to become a habit.
She's going
to
put a star on the door with her name.
Right.
Thinking that this is going to be her new thing.
She already asked me for her own trailer. She's put her trailer outside for her.
Next is a bowl of only green M&Ms.
Right.
And a certain brand of water. Right. It's coming.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, anyway, we want to talk today about the Supreme Court has...
You may not have heard.
Yeah, right. Has agreed to hear a case out of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Banning abortions after 15 weeks.
After 15 weeks.
The Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization.
Right.
And the left is losing their minds.
I'm losing my mind. There's so much misinformation going on talking about this that it's unreal.
And that's why we have the podcast.
Yes, and that's why I'm here, is to lay things straight.
Oh, that's why she's here.
Yeah. to guide the rest of us.
Lead us to the Holy Land.
But to be realistic about it.
You've got this idea that to think that the Supreme Court is going to overrule Roe based on this case, which a lot of people are claiming.
Uh-huh. Yeah, even the abortion lobby is saying that.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, no.
Well, you don't know that that's not going to happen.
You don't know what's going
to
happen.
What you have to understand is you look at the history of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get a case, they grant it cert, and it gets to the Supreme Court, the parameters of that case don't matter. They can write their own rules. That's how we got Roe to start with.
Well, yeah. I know that, but just like you talk about in your constitutional showdown, the Supreme Court hasn't touched Roe versus Wade and the personhood issue. And I think the reason why they're taking up this case is so they can continue to tiptoe around that issue.
Well, if that's what they wanted to do, Sheila, they just wouldn't grant it cert and just refuse to hear it.
Like they've done with a number of cases.
And here's the point I want you to understand. I don't think that they are going to use this case to overturn Roe.
No, they're not.
And I'll tell you why. Of all those people up there, even the new ones that Trump put up there, there's not one of them that I trust to be honestly pro-life other than Clarence Thomas.
And I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, so I don't think we can trust them at all.
This will be Barrett's first case dealing with abortion.
Right.
And here's the thing that I think is interesting about this, or that's important about this. Roe says that states can put in limitations, especially after the point of viability. Mm-hmm. But viability is a function of medical technology.
Right, mm-hmm. It moves.
Right now, babies are surviving at 24 weeks. There's even been some that have survived at 21 weeks. And as time goes on, that number is going to lower. People look at viability as it's etched in stone tablets, and it's not.
Well, it's obviously changed. 100 years ago, viability was a whole lot different than it is today, but the babies are no biologically different.
Exactly.
But here's the point. You said that Roe versus Wade allowed the states to restrict abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They really didn't.
No.
Because they said you can restrict it except...
in the case of the health of the mother.
Health of the mother. Then they defined health in a way in Doe versus Bolton.
Yeah.
That health applies to any circumstance under which a woman is pregnant. I think that for them to rule in favor of this restriction in Mississippi, they have to overturn either Doe versus Bolton or Roe versus Wade, or both of them. But I don't think they will.
Yeah. I think it's important that people first understand what this case is about. It's about the Gestational Age Act, which banned any abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, with exceptions for medical emergencies or severe fetal abnormalities. That's what Mississippi tried passing.
And they did pass.
And they did, but then Jackson Women's Health Organization took them to court over.
All right.
And so this is about banning abortions after a certain point. This isn't about getting rid of abortions altogether.
It's a step you take toward that goal.
Right. But it's also with exceptions. And so abortionists and abortion advocates could easily claim that every single case of abortion had a medical emergency.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And we've seen that in the past.
Well, we have a
financial incentive to do so.
Well, I wrote an article years ago about a law review article that I saw. Mm-hmm. This woman was an attorney, wrote this law review article, and she said that if there was ever a complete ban on abortion, with an exception for the life of the mother, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that women would start claiming that they're going to commit suicide if mm-hmm. they don't have an abortion. Therefore, the pregnancy was a threat to her life. Mm-hmm. So this is how far they're willing to carry it.
And we talked about this in a couple episodes ago, and we are already seeing women making that mm-hmm. argument, saying, right. it threatens my life, therefore I have to have it.
I'll kill myself.
Yeah, this is not theoretical. This is actually starting to play out.
But the point is that it is possible. Now, let me make sure, before I say this, it's not going to happen, because I don't think these guys are trustworthy. But it is conceivable that the Supreme Court could take this case up and not have to rule on the merits of the case. Mm-hmm. They just set it aside and say, this case is moot because mm-hmm. we are ruling that the unborn child is a person mm-hmm. and therefore protected by the Constitution. So right. theoretically, they could do this.
Yeah. They probably won't.
But they won't okay. because I still say the only one of those people that I have seen that said anything that makes me think they're truly pro-life is Clarence Thomas.
That's why I have an issue with people just flat out calling this a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. It could become that. It probably won't. It could become that. But this isn't about outright bans on abortion. It's about whether states have the authority to put restrictions on abortion with okay. laws like heartbeat bills.
But when you look at the existence of the health definition in Bolton, Doe versus Bolton, then you could make an argument. I'm not saying I agree with it, but you could make an argument that this is a direct assault on Roe, because this is what the thing's going to come down to. The only way they can uphold this Mississippi statute is if they rule against Doe versus Bolton and say the health exemption does not count. Mm-hmm. Or if they throw out Doe versus Bolton, or if they throw out Roe versus Wade. So,
or if they rule that abortion is not a federal deal, it's a state's rights issue.
Well, we're screwed if that happens.
But I'm saying that could happen. And what that would do is that would send it back to the states. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be fighting this for not 50 years, but 100 years, because you're not fighting one battle. You're fighting a whole bunch of smaller battles.
I honestly think that besides Clarence, the reason why they took up this case is to kind of keep abortion in a limbo state.
I think you're right, because they know that Roe versus Wade is fragile and that it was badly decided. And if you know that, then you're going to mm-hmm. take a perfect case mm-hmm. to come along your way and reinforce Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. And that's what could happen here.
Well, even some Supreme Court justices mm-hmm. have said that Roe versus Wade was a flawed decision.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Sandra Day O'Connor said Roe versus Wade is on a collision course with itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's because it had tenets in it and philosophies in it that you can't constitutionally mm-hmm. justify. So it is maybe on a collision course with itself. The problem that we have here is that the issue is not mm-hmm. that they overturn Roe.
It's how.
It's how they do it. What's their rationale?
Like I said, most likely it could be a state's rights issue. They could just defer it back to the states.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're screwed if that happens.
Which is why they took up this case, because they want abortion to continue to be in limbo. They don't want to make a decision once and for all. They want it to continue to be a patchwork between different states.
Well, there's another theory there too, Sheila, that I would propose. If there's a motivation for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe using this case, mm-hmm. let me tell you what it is. It's to get this case out of the Supreme Court docket permanently. Mm-hmm. They may come out here and rule, Roe was poorly decided, Doe was poorly mm-hmm. decided, they're now off the books.
Yeah.
We're sending this back to the states.
Yeah.
It's up to each individual state now to make up their own rules. Mm-hmm. Because the Supreme Court is sick of this. They don't want to
hear
it. They don't have the courage it takes to do what needs to happen to save the baby. So,
and with so mm-hmm. many pro-life bills, 536 pro-life bills have been introduced in 46 states. 61 of them have been passed. Mm-hmm. This is becoming an increasing nightmare for them. And this is a famous mm-hmm. pass the hot potato
this
situation.
This is a way to get rid of it.
Which just proves my theory on why they did this and the reality of the situation.
Well, maybe. We don't know yet. Now, some people out there might be confused with us saying if they overturn it on a state's rights issue, which I think is very
I think it's very possible
in this case that they come back and say Roe is moot, Doe versus Bolton is moot, because the Supreme Court should not have ever gotten involved in this. Abortion is not mentioned in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. They argue that's under the right to privacy, but the right to privacy is not technically in there.
It's not. Well, all kinds of arguments they could use, because Roe has got about 50 different flaws in it.
I would say even more.
But anyway,
it's like Jenga.
Let's say they take that approach. People might be confused hearing us say we're screwed if that happens. They say, well, it sends it back to the states, then any state can make up their own rules. That does not protect one baby in one state.
No, because, for instance, Texas would outlaw abortion, probably. But then you have New Mexico or California,
Colorado,
New York. And so that means that if a woman in Texas wants an abortion,
she just travels to
and
the state.
Do not be naive enough to think that the abortion industry would not take advantage of that. They would set up these travel, you know, packages and
cottage industry.
They would do everything in their might and power to get those women from Texas over to those liberal states.
Yeah, that's right. And so basically you say, well, Texas outlaws abortions, at least Texas babies will be saved. That's not true.
No.
Those babies will just be basically extradited to a New York or a California or a Colorado or some other state.
It's similar to the gambling industry. Yeah. I'm sitting there watching TV. I live in Texas where gambling is outlawed, but I'm seeing commercials because Oklahoma, the state right to the north of us, has gambling. Go over to Louisiana, the next state over. They have gambling.
Right. So, and isn't it interesting, this is kind of a little bit off the subject, isn't it interesting that every time Texas takes up the matter in the legislature of whether they want to allow casino gambling, the opposition comes from Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Because that is their niche. That's their market. People from states where gambling is illegal to come gamble there.
And, you know, you've got these gigantic, I think the largest gambling facility in the world is the one up in Oklahoma.
Just in the middle of nowhere.
And it's out in
the woods.
Sticks. It's literally out in the middle of nowhere, but it's right on 35.
Just right across the border from Texas
and Oklahoma. All their advertising is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're dragging people out of Dallas-Fort Worth up there by the gazillions. So that's the same kind of phenomenon that you would have here.
And the thing that's important to remember here is this is exactly the strategy that the other side wants. They've been preparing for this. If you look in the last couple of years, they've been codifying Roe into their state constitutions.
In the states where they knew they could. New York, California, places like that.
And New York, they even lit up a tower in celebration for it. They're prepared for this. They know that they can win in this arena. That's why they want it to go back to the states. They're not going to openly say this, but that's their backup strategy that they're hoping for.
And that's why they've been challenging a lot of individual states as well, because they want to get as strong of a foothold in individual states as they can.
Yeah,
we've got to look at this realistically and not and take off the rose-colored glasses here.
But even if a case doesn't go forward and doesn't get passed, or a bill doesn't get passed, or say a bill does get passed, the abortion lobby is spending their money challenging this with lawyers in each and every single law. Even if it doesn't succeed, we're still taking resources away and keeping them distracted.
Right.
And there's value in that.
Absolutely. So, well, look at what happened in Lubbock recently. You had this sanctuary city bill that Mark Dixon, a friend of ours, is doing, and he's doing a great job with this. And Lubbock became, I think, the 22nd or 23rd city in Texas to outlaw abortion.
And they just did that through voting.
They did that through the vote of the people.
Just after Planned Parenthood built a new facility there and moved in. They and hadn't they, even started really offering abortions yet. Went, they just started, but they didn't really have time
we
to do
We went up
much.
There. And the three of us went up
we
there.
We went to the rally up there in the march. And
I spoke at the events. We stayed around a couple of days. But anyway, you know, one of the things that happened there is somebody did a financial analysis. I talk about it in our upcoming newsletter. Financial analysis of the money that was going into Lubbock to either help pass this bill, this legislation, or to help stop it. And the interesting thing was, when this analysis was done, the pro-aborts and the pro-lifers had raised within $1,000 at the same amount of money.
Interesting.
The difference was 93% of the dollars that the pro-lifers raised came from people who lived in Lubbock. 2% of the dollars that the pro-aborts raised came from people who lived in Lubbock.
Shocked. I'm so
and
shocked.
Most of it came from large cities, some of them in Texas. But they also got money from
Let me guess.
Missouri.
New York.
And Planned Parenthood of New York the national organization, mm-hmm. paid $50,000 to this group in Lubbock that was opposing this.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
Now, that means that it just cost Planned Parenthood in New York, the national organization, cost them $50,000. Mm-hmm. It flushed down the toilet in Lubbock. And the vote wasn't even close.
No.
62% voted for it, 38% voted against it.
And they're going to waste even more of their money because they're suing them. They're taking them to court.
Yeah.
To try to get this ordinance off the books.
And that's resources drained from Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, this particular thing that's happening in Mississippi, I'll guarantee you this. It's a lot cheaper for Mississippi to defend this mm-hmm. in the Supreme Court than it is for Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry to oppose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So even though it cost us money too, just like the thing in Lubbock cost us mm-hmm. money, it cost them a whole lot more. We have to keep them on the defense. And right. that's one of the things about a piece of legislation like this thing in Mississippi. Whether you think it has a lot of value or it doesn't have a lot of value, overturns Roe, it doesn't overturn Roe. The fact is, it keeps the pro-aborts on the defense. Mm-hmm. And they do not play defense well. No. They're good on the attack, mm-hmm. but they're not good on playing defense.
And so I want people to be realistic about this. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. And do not quit fighting yourself.
Yeah, don't give up hope.
Yeah, no. You can't rely on this case. You can't rely just on your politicians to end abortion. You yourself have to do stuff to end abortion.
You know, I think the pro-life movement has to be like water. And I know that sounds weird, but if you think about it, water is really powerful. It can erode stone. And it's persistent. And that's what yeah. we have to be. We have to be persistent and erode the stone of legalized abortion.
Mm-hmm. And we are now, I'm writing a script, as y'all know, mm-hmm. because one of the most common questions we get are when I go out and speak, I'll get a question. What can I do? I don't have a big organization. I don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people follow me. What can I do? We're going to put together a video to show people what they can do. And there is a tremendous amount that they can do in their local community. Mm-hmm. And this case in Mississippi is going to be a good example of this. This thing is not going to end in the Supreme Court, and it's not going to end in Washington, D.C. It's going to be ended community by community, or it won't be ended at all. This is a grassroots thing, and this is something that I think has gotten lost on the newer generation of pro-lifers. Mm-hmm. When I first got in this, it was accepted. The pro-life movement is a grassroots movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's local. It's hardworking people. It's not these elitist. Mm-hmm. This is, like I said, a grassroots thing. Over the years, we've kind of gotten away from that. And I think we've got to pull the movement back into that mindset and understand. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about Mark Dixon mm-hmm. and this situation where he's going around the state mm-hmm. getting all these cities in Texas to outlaw abortion. Now, most of them are little bitty cities. They don't have an abortion mill.
Lubbock was the biggest one so far.
Lubbock is the biggest mm-hmm. one so far. But all of a sudden now, Dixon is getting calls from people outside Texas. Mm-hmm. He was in Florida a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. It's like the teenage boys at a dance. They see somebody else dancing, and now they have the courage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So the fact is that when you have Planned Parenthood, national organization mm-hmm. in New York City, giving $50,000 to fight this little ordinance in Lubbock, Texas,
yeah,
you know they're on the defense.
And you know it's just got to irritate them so bad.
It's
got
to gall.
And we got to keep on going, you know, everybody from all different directions until the day that the Supreme Court acknowledges the personhood of the unborn.
Right.
Well, even then, because then we would have to defend that.
Well, and the abortion industry understands one valuable thing, and there's been numerous quotes out there that says this. Having abortion legal means nothing mm-hmm. if you don't have people
access.
If you don't have mm-hmm. access.
Right.
Yeah.
And all it takes is for communities to say, we're not tolerating this in our community. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then legalized abortion doesn't mean anything. If you have all these communities saying, we're not putting up with this anymore, we have seen the mangled bodies of the unborn, we've seen the mangled bodies of our women, we know what abortion does, we're not tolerating this, you can just pick up and leave, hit the road, Jack.
If you want to do it in your city, you go ahead, but you're not doing it in Lubbock or whatever. Ultimately, we have to win the victory city by city. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so important is, if you go to a congressman, or as I often call them, a Congress nuisance, in Washington, D.C. And let's say the guy is not a raging pro-abort. He may not be a raging pro-lifer. He may just kind of...
He's not raging one way or the other.
He's not raging one way or the other. And this is 90% of them.
Yeah.
Right? They're not hot and cold. They're lukewarm.
Whichever way, you know...
The wind blows.
Yeah.
Now, if they have data that shows that in their district mm-hmm. back home, 80% of the people label themselves pro-choice. Mm-hmm. There's no way they're going to vote for a pro-life bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if they have data from their district that says 80% of them are pro-life, mm-hmm. now he'll vote. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what we've got to do, I know this sounds weird, but when we make community by community pro-life, mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're installing backbone mm-hmm. in these 535 sniveling cowards in Washington, D.C.
Which is why the pro-life movement needs to quit putting their eggs in the politicians.
Well, no.
Are they putting eggs inside politicians? I didn't know this was happening.
Putting the eggs in one basket, a.k.a. politicians.
Well, I don't think we do that. We have a lot of different things going on. But I've made that argument for years about the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have almost thought when Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed that Roe versus Wade was history. Abortion was over.
No, but it provided some very good entertainment. I tell you, I've never been so excited to watch a Supreme Court justice appointment.
You weren't here when Bork was being...
I don't trust her. People think that, because she's, you know, a dedicated Catholic, she must be 100% pro-life.
Nancy Pelosi claims to be a Catholic.
Yeah,
I do not trust her. Mark my words. What's today's date?
You don't know what the day is? No. It's May 19th.
May 19th. Sheila P. Crutcher.
This is sounding like an oath here.
The oracle came down with this.
Said that she does not trust Amy on the abortion issue. Mark my words.
By the way, for those of you out there in the field that are listening to this, is there any doubt in your mind why I'm crazy as a drugstore rat?
And if you're wondering, this is not theater, Sheila. It's genuinely like this. This is not made up for entertainment.
Lord help us.
Anyway. This is why we space her out.
You take her in small doses.
See, that's y'all's problem. You had me on two episodes in a row.
Well, we'll learn our lesson on that one, won't we?
Okay. The bottom line is, we don't know what this is going to do.
Mm-mm. Brace yourself. It'll be an entertaining ride.
It's like passing a football rather than mm-hmm. running it. You know, Daryl Royal used to say he always ran more than he passed because when you pass, there's three things that can happen and two of them are bad. It can be incomplete or it can be intercepted or it could be complete. He said two out of the three are bad. In this situation in Mississippi, two out of the three things that could happen mm-hmm. are bad.
Mm-hmm. And we just have to prepare ourselves.
They could issue a personhood ruling if they really wanted to.
No.
They're not going to.
No.
The other two things are they could just leave everything as is, mm-hmm. reaffirm Roe, which mm-hmm. would be a bad thing, mm-hmm. or overturn Roe on a state's rights issue and send mm-hmm. it back to the states, and that would be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So two of the three things that could happen are bad.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and so we have to...
continue on.
We have to fight on. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing we need to make sure everybody understands. No matter how this goes, no matter what they do, mm-hmm. no matter what they say, we're going to keep fighting.
Yep.
The pro-life movement mm-hmm. is going to keep fighting. Mm-hmm. We've been through worse than this. Ever how this goes, I guarantee you Casey was worse.
Yeah.
The Casey decision, go back mm-hmm. and read it. It was much worse than any way this can go. Yeah. So. Yep.
And if you like this conversation, why don't you go ahead and like the episode, leave a review or a rating on your favorite podcast platform that we'll take it.
Or if you want us to leave Sheila out from now on.
And if you would like us to leave Sheila off, you can always send us a review on several different podcast platforms. We have a button that will automatically take you to where you can leave a review. We have a form on our Pro-Life America podcast page of our website, lifedynamics.com/podcast. You can leave us a message saying, please, for the love of everything, stop having Sheila on the show.
Or Sheila is 100% correct. And you can also make suggestions for future episodes.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
We need your input.
Mm-hmm. And make sure that you go ahead and follow the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Again, we're on a whole bunch of them, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. The list goes on, and I don't have enough breath for it. So just go subscribe.
Until next week, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
Nope.
Why are we here, Sheila?
We're here to win because that is how the killing stops.
That's exactly right. We'll see you guys next Thursday.
Bye, guys.